They're going to play the intro.
Blog Talk Radio.
And when I... So we're going to do all of that.
1 Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Nation is today. Everybody wants to live. You know, there is no moral consciousness no more. Okay, Romans 6, if you have it, let me know, 6 and 20. It says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. So God is showing you that you cannot serve two masters. He said, his way, when he is the center of the author of our faith, we have to follow him. We cannot be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, which is over in James 4 and 4. It is the worst of all. Laodicea was the worst of all the churches, yet the most confident. You see how people, when they leave, are faith like a wave, James, tossed to and fro. It comes from lack of truth, sound doctrine, and understanding. They are miserable, tossed about with all kinds of incorrect doctrine, which comes in like a wind from every direction. If you notice, every time you call on TV, it's some kind of wayward teaching, how to get rich quick schemes, and name it, claim it, and live your best years now, and you can enjoy everything. The secret, but they ain't turning you to God. That's what I got a problem with. I'm for prosperity. I'm for a people that will rise up and take and enjoy this everything these riches, this land have to offer. But you cannot get it without God. You cannot get it without a good relationship with Jesus Christ. God has blessed me with a decent job, and I have a decent home. But I do not put this stuff in front of God. Neither am I going to manipulate and control you to tell you
that I got some kind of secret that only I have, and to get this secret, you got to pay me. Because if you seek after the Lord, seek the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say seek after a man, but we got a lot of people nowadays seeking after a carnal man for the stuff, for the prostitute. What did I say? They were full of pride. How often have you seen people, you come into the house of the Lord, and they prostrate on their face worshiping God? They just want more of God. They don't want to follow God just because of the loads or, yeah, what you going to do for me attitude. But they're just hungry and thirsting after Jesus. They just want righteousness. You don't see it today. You see all kinds of other things, but you don't see the moving of God. They are not zealous for truth. This is Laodicea, but they are blind to their true condition and to Satan's schemes. They think their condition is just the opposite of what it really is. That's why God shined the light on them. Say, yeah, you say you're rich, but to me, you're naked. You say you don't have need of none, but you're poor. You see what I'm saying? They gather around themselves teachers that say that say what their selfish emotions and deceived heart wants to hear. Let's go over here to 2 Timothy 4 and 3 and see what God is talking about, how to have a work of an evangelist. Evangelists don't teach the truth. They're going to go out throughout the land and share the good news. Amen. Let's go on. They are shamefully naked. They do not have on the white garments of righteousness, but are clothed with black wool of deceit, which is no clothing at all. This church is shown to be naked, but they do not know these things. They are positive, they are saved, but are positively wrong. The fools don't talk about certain gay rights or this on their agenda because that makes us uncomfortable, and you're not showing love. Yes, you do. We do have love, and we love God's children. The love of God will tell us to stand and tell you the truth. What mother and father, if you see your child in error, that you will not correct them? And you will not tell them, son, I love you, but that is not beneficial for you. That's not going to help you in the long run. That's what the church should be doing. I am not for gay bashing. I am not for burning signs in people's yards or calling people out of their name. That is not the love of God. Because as I said earlier, I understand how it was not right. We couldn't even go to certain restaurants back in the 60s. I know about civil rights. I grew up in it. That's not what I'm advocating here. I'm talking about immorality versus God's law. When it comes in the church and we're comfortable with it, then there's a problem. Amen? Laodiceans are told to buy of Jesus gold that it was refined by fire. They are told to anoint their eyes with ointment so they can see their true spiritual condition as God sees it. The Lord appears to admonish them to be zealous for the things of God, wisdom, knowledge, and tradition. They do not want to the correction or truth. Often ministers or churches and ministers focus more on getting money and more people rather than humbleness, brokenness, and a good, sound doctrine. Why do they want all these people housed up in these churches? So they can enjoy the fruits of their labor. It's not about the souls. A lot of them is only about what they can get. But it should be a hunger and thirst after God's people. To keep them, we got people dying by the thousands. Matter of fact, I was talking to a young lady at work, and she said she went to a business meeting up in North Carolina, and she said she was talking to the CEO of the company, and the CEO said, you know, excuse us, we're all a little distraught because one of our main guys here on the board of directors say he went to the doctor just for a routine checkup. Doctor tell him you got 2 weeks to live. He didn't even see, got all this money. But he didn't even see this coming. He seemed upbeat, happy, living life. And she said, after that doctor pronounced that on him, you could see the deterioration going down. This was just the other day. That quick, he started deteriorating. What am I saying? We don't know when our last day is here. None of us in this room. But as men and women of the gospel, you may be hearing this gospel for the last time. Because you're saying you're worshiping me, but you're not worshiping me. You're worshiping self. You're worshiping pride. You're worshiping arrogance. You're worshiping self-serving. But you're not worshiping me. Many of today's churches in America are a type of social club. They are committees, lots of programs, recreation areas, entertainment, hay singers, and comedians. There are many things to lure people and to please the carnal nature and the flesh. Soul winning is like a business. There are many types of crusades and revivals. However, few generate true conviction for sin, where people are driven to their knees, confessing their sins, denying themselves, and crying out in brokenness over wickedness. Revival in this lukewarm generation seldom sparks a desire within one to be hungry for Jesus, that he turns off the TV set, aside from other activities, to spend all of the day studying the God's word and humbly seeking him in prayer. The others be saying church didn't want that. And if one does come to Jesus, he may be quickly cooled off as he is surrounded by his friends, relatives, local churches, radio and television, preachers who may bring forth a lukewarm message of compromise, deceit, and truth intermix. Perhaps the one out of thousands of preachers that he may hear who bring forth sound doctrine is often quickly discredited by everyone around him. They say, you crazy. They say, it don't take all that. They say, well, I don't know what y'all drinking, but y'all need to get with the program, postmodernism. Amen? Because lukewarm becomes the accepted way of truth. And sound doctrine is viewed as the way of deceit in the seventh and last church age. We are in the seventh and last church age right now today. I could be sitting there looking at some soap operas. But when God put a mandate on your heart, and he calls you out, and you want to teach, you'll be just like John the Baptist. No matter, he told a king, he went to the king, and he said, it's not lawful for you to be living with your brother's wife. Yeah, he got his hair cut off. But John the Baptist still, he talked the truth. God is calling for men and women that's going to stand up in the midst of adversity. And when it go out throughout the land, he said, if I be lifted up, I draw a man. Jesus describes the Laodicean church as lukewarm. The lukewarm are confident they are correct and righteous. Their confidence is so deeply rooted that it is nearly impossible to reach them with the truth. Lukewarmness comes from mixing both hot and cold. They are not cold toward the things of God, but neither are they hot. They are content, apathetic, indifferent. They are not truly concerned with what is right or wrong or what is good and evil. Within the Laodicean church, it is prevailing attitude of what I said, live and let live. Don't rock the boat. Don't cause waves. It will all turn out okay. They are taking a neutral position. They are trying to serve God, but are also trying to please men. They are serving two masters, like I read to you, and justify their position. They are serving God and are all serving self. They are serving God and they are serving the world. This is totally unacceptable with God. Remember, the name Laodicea thing means lukewarm. And I wanted to read the seven things. For those who wonder if lukewarm is really so bad, let's see what Jesus says about the following warning. Laodicea, the last church age, would neither be hot or cold, but lukewarm. The last church age would say they are rich. What did Jesus say about it? He said you're poor. The last church age would say they are increased with good. But Look at the church now. You see more people spiritually. What did we read about? Was it Sardis, the dead church? Spiritually dead. But they say they have need of nothing. The last church age would be wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And I remember a young man telling me the other day he went to one of these big crusades, and the guy was going, you know, one of these televangelists, and he asking everybody, what do you want? And he came to one young lady, and she told him, she said, I don't need nothing. I got everything you need. Went to another person, and he asked her, he said, what do you need? And she said something small. He said, is that all you're asking God for? Then he told them what he was asking God for. He said, I'm asking y'all for a bigger jet. I got a Lear jet, but I want a bigger one. You see what I'm saying? Well-known televangelists do not teach sound doctrine. I told you, read to you in Timothy, say they would seek out teachers having itching ears that's going to support their lifestyle or what they believe is right. The last church age would teach people what they want to hear. The last church age will turn away from truth. The last church age will teach stories that are not in the Bible. The last church age, many preachers would not be following God. They're going to be following their own selfish motivational speakers, their selfish desires, what I could do to make myself look good so I could leave my legacy. But it ain't about God. You notice a lot of them even got the church named after them. So-and-so ministry. So God told us when we started the kingdom of God, you better not say Bobby and Kathy's ministry because it ain't your ministry. It's my ministry. I'm not trying to build a legacy for Bobby and Kathy Montgomery. But I want something to be planted in my kids and my grandkids. When I lay down and take my last breath, I want them to say, Grandma put it in me. She put the word of truth in my heart. I'm like the disciples that said, this is all I have now, but such as I have, I give unto you. That's what I want to be remembered by. The last church age, many will not be warning about Jesus returning to rapture his people. They'll call you a fool for the gospel. Because you want to teach truth. But that's okay because God sees everything we do. Now, I just want to thank you for your time. At this time, I'm going to turn it, yield the floor up to Pastor Bob, and he can go forth as God give him. Amen.
We just want to say praise the Lord. God is truly good. We're thankful for everything that went for my sister, Catherine Montgomery. And we have to realize that, yes, we are truly in the last days. And Jesus Christ is speaking to his church. We have to realize that it's his church, it's not our church. And really, everything has truly been brought out, and there's nothing that can be added to that, to what has been said. But it's one thing, but there are some scriptures that I want to read, and it connects with the church of Laodicea, in that when the Lord spoke to these various churches, he had already sent ministers to them time before. He sent Paul to them before, and whoever was with Paul, but I want to read something to you out of Isaiah 55. And it's connected with Laodicea, as that Jesus said they was naked, they were poor, they were blind, they were hungry. They were a lot of negative things that the Lord thought to their attention, and the end result was he told them that they needed to repent. He also told them that he was knocking at the door. He was wanting to do something for them. He didn't want them to be the way they were. God has always been saying that. God has always seen us in our weakest moment. He has always seen us being defeated.
He has always seen us being attacked by the enemy. But that's not what the Lord wants. What he wants is for us to make a choice to choose him. Because, see, here's the thing. God has given us free will. We are a free moral agent. He has given us the ability to choose him. Now, when you don't choose the Lord, what happens is the door of the enemy is open in your life. So what does that mean? That means it's you, it's the devil, and the Lord is somewhere out there trying to get in, trying to get your attention. He's saying, look over here, I have the answer for your problem. Only I can deliver you from what you have. Only I can cause you to see. Only I can make you wealthy. Only I can put the right clothing on your back, which is the spirituality and the righteousness of God, which comes from God through Christ Jesus. I want to read something to you in Isaiah 55. It says, for everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Listen, before thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, okay, that's getting into idol worship, that's getting into false prophecy, that's getting into anything that is not associated with God, a nation that you know not is not connected with God, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. The Lord is saying right here, why are you fooling with a nation that doesn't know God? That nation should be coming to you to know God. People out there who don't know God should come to you, why, to know God. But if you're neither hot nor cold, if you're somewhere in the middle, and they really don't know what stand you're on, they're not going to come to you. When it gets hot, are you going to put it in the refrigerator and let it get cold? Or you can do something with it. But when it's just right stuck in the middle and it's lukewarm, that's what the Lord is saying, you can't use it. So what do you think he's going to do with it? But that's what he's saying. And then it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous were wealthy. They thought they knew what was going on. But the Bible says that their thoughts weren't God's thoughts. The Bible says that my thoughts are not his thoughts. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. We can't put our mind on the same mindset as God. We cannot equal ourselves with God when we cannot bring God down to our level. We have to go in the way God says we should go in. We have to obey the word of the living God. If we do not obey the word of the living God, well, we'll have the Lord Jesus talking to us the way he's talking to the church. And the way he talked to the church in Revelation is to every one of us today. It's not that he was just speaking back then in A.D. 100, A.D. 50, A.D. 60. It wasn't like that. He was talking to the body of Christ and everything that was afflicting them and hindering them and keeping them from hell. But every church had a different spirit that was attacking them through the enemy. And the apostles at that time, the prophets at that time, and everybody that believed in God and followed the true word of Jesus Christ spoke exactly what God told them to speak to that particular body. See, what's going on, the attack that the enemy attacked one person is not the same as his attack to another person. So God, he knows how to address, but at the same time, you might think you're on top of it. You might think you're spiritual. You might think you have it going on. But you might have it going on in one area, the area of the world, but what's going on with the spirit? What's going on in reference to God? What's going on in the church? That's what's important. Now, Jesus said that Laodicea had to put some eye salve on their eyes because they weren't seeing right. They weren't seeing right. See, sometimes your perception is so worldly that you cannot see what God has right before you. Now, the scripture also said that Jesus stood right at the door knocking. He was there. He was there, but they couldn't see him. He was there, but they didn't open the door. He also said he was knocking. If they opened the door, he would come in and he would sup with them. He would sup with them. And in other words, he would share spiritual things with that body to strengthen them in him. So what does that mean? If you notice, it didn't say Jesus knocked the door down. The scripture didn't say that Jesus just came on in and they didn't open the door. He could have come through the door because he had done it before. Jesus had the opportunity, the power to go through walls. He could do those things, but he didn't. Why? Because you have to choose him. You have to make the choice. People, listen to my voice. You have to make the choice for the Lord. People, listen to my voice. If you don't make the choice for the Lord, guess what? He's standing there. He's right there. He's already made the choice for you. Your name is already written in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's up to you if it's going to stay written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's up to you whether it stays. A good way to be lost. That's a good way to be separated from God. Now, these are the very things that God said to the various churches in Revelation, but I'm going to read some other things to you, and then I'm going to get out of your way here. In Colossians 2, I'm going to start at the first verse. So, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, this is Paul speaking to the Colossians, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are and told them where they needed to be. It's obvious when you listen to what the Lord said to the church, after what Paul had spoken to the church, you see that that particular church has fell off. In other words, they became lukewarm. They didn't start off lukewarm, but they became lukewarm because they adhered to the surroundings and the circumstances. They start looking out away from Christ Jesus. Physically healthy, you won't care about any of that. Only thing you'll care about is what you look like to others, mainly the world. I got it going on. We can't be like that. We can't be like the Laodicean church. We can't be lukewarm. You're gonna have to be either hot or cold, especially in these days and times. It's coming a time where we speaking now, you won't be able to do that. They're already trying to pass laws to infringe on your rights to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as you are lukewarm, as long as you're not standing up for anything, as long as everything is okay, you are right. But when you start standing up for the truth of Jesus Christ according to the word of God, according to the Ten Commandments of God, and according to righteousness and holiness and sanctification, then you're going to have a problem. As long as you're talking about you can do anything and make it into the kingdom, you'll have a house full every time. Just give your money. Just give your tithe and offering and be here on Sunday. When you leave out the church door, I don't care how you live. But that's where we are. Now, we only have a few minutes left. And I thank God for everything that has been said. But we have to remember, church, that this is not a joke. That means you have to get your act together while you still have life and the blood running warm in your veins, while you still have your right mind and you can think clearly and make a valid choice to choose the Lord. And the Lord says to choose him and live. He's begging you to choose him and live. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the program on today. We thank you for our listening audience. Father God, we ask that you bless them. Amen. Well, that's a basic.
Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of